morning, honorable members. The team from the department and the stakeholders which are here. You're welcome to this meeting. We would like to acknowledge the apologies that we have received. We have the apology from the minister. In the joint cabinet meeting, DG was in Sudan attending the food security meeting. Represented by DG in Sudan. Deputy Minister attending cabinet committee meeting. Honorable Paulson send apology. Honorable Kabekulu will join the meeting late. Honorable Stein, few minutes later, will join us. And Honorable Sandal attending the funeral. These are the apologies that we have received. In terms of our agenda, we have invited the department to come and respond on the issues that were raised in the extended public hearing on the National Forest Amendment Bill. I'm going to ask the MPDG to respond on the whether he's delegating or what. MPDG.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning, and good morning to my colleagues and the invited people as well. Honorable Chair, we are having with us this morning the Acting DDG Forestry and Natural Resources Management, and she is going to make the presentation, and we are accompanied by colleagues both from the legal services of the department and the branch forestry and natural resources management. And I will hand over to Ms. Nodada to give the responses to the issues that were raised to the department and we were requested to return to respond to. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Okay. While the Chairperson of the Council is not here,
Chairperson, given that I'm acting for the past 2 days, I am not aware that there was an invitation, and I neither does the acting DDG forestry, but I think she can respond to that.
No, but when we invite departments, when we are dealing with forestry, we expect him to be here because he's the one that's monitored this company. So, and it's part of the department. When you call the department, you're supposed to include him because it's him who monitors this company and his cancer.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, we would like to apologize for that, and we are taking note of it and noting that next week on Tuesday also, there is an agenda item on the discussion of the amendment to this bill, and we will ensure that we invite him and make sure that he does attend next week on Tuesday, and would like to apologize for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the honourable members, and good morning to the guests that have been invited, and to the colleagues. Today we are here to present the responses and the progress that we have managed to do since October, November, in terms of the questions that were and issues that were raised by the community.
Presentation outline, which I'm part, and also
the purpose, which I've already given. And then this is a list of the areas that were visited by the portfolio committee to get some input on the amendment bill. I must say also that in the pack that was provided, we have this presentation, which is a summary of the issues, and a report which is named Annexure A, which is a full report for each of the issues that were raised per province, and an Annexure B, which is an analysis of the work that the companies that are listening learned from the department are supposed to abide to. And then Annexure C would be the sample of one of the letters that the minister wrote to the different stakeholders that we have requested inputs from, and also the responses from the different stakeholders. In terms of the summary, we have looked at all the issues and tried to consolidate them into six main issues. That includes the management of our plantations, the long-term leases, the land reform issues, which deals with issues of land claims and title deeds, the delays in water licensing, conditions of employees, and also the conditions of communities that live in and around the forest. As I have mentioned, that we have already sent the information that was raised by the communities to the different stakeholders, and since then we've met with a couple of those stakeholders, and some of them have already submitted written responses. We have written responses from MTO, Forestry South Africa, from SAFCO, from the Charter Council, and from PJ Bison. And then we have met with some of the stakeholders, but we are still in a process of following up with the government departments. We have been, they haven't managed to respond on time on the due date that we have given them. One of the issues that was raised at the Harding consultation was the issue of how the consultation was conducted and the concerns that were raised by AMAKOSI in that area. And we were requested to go back to do reconsultations in that area. We have done so, and about 365 people attended the sessions that we did during that the week of 7 to 11 November. From that, from those sessions, the communities have further requested that they want more information on land reform related issues, and have asked the KZN Regional Land Claims Commissioner to assist them in those. And they have also requested that they would like to have a further discussion on forestry-related issues in terms of the value chain itself. And they have requested that we try and schedule a discussion between the communities, the industry, and government, and that we are going to do when we start the new financial year. Now, slide 12 and 13 mainly deals with issues related to the lease agreements. That is the issue that communities are not benefiting, the issue that communities were not involved in the signing. And our response in this is that when the leases were signed during the privatization process, it was a government approach that was led by the Department of Public Enterprise, DAF, Rural Development, Public Works, and National and Treasury were involved. At the time when the leases were signed, none of the claims were finalized, but it was recognized that at some point these claims would need to be finalized and these communities would need to be involved, which is why now Rural Development is working on the settlement agreement that will ensure that the communities are part of the list agreement. In addition to this, the companies that are leasing the land from government have signed three different agreements. DAF deals with an agreement we call a sustainable forest management agreement, which looks at how forests are managed, whether they adhere to the international and national practices that are supposed to be there, whether they are certified, whether they have enough firefighting equipment, whether they liaise with the communities in terms of the things that they do. And then the department monitors that lease agreement and is able to deal with non-compliance. As I have said, that annex should be then given analysis of that. It would show that companies are expected to pay rent, and we make sure that they pay the rental at the beginning of each year. And once the claims are finalized, then we are able to pay over that rental to those communities. Part of the work that the companies would do would then be issues on CSIs, where they would either support students with bursaries, or they would assist with building roads or whatever the case is, depending on the need of that particular community. One of the other things that was also raised was the issue of the forestry villages, especially here in the Western Cape. And we are discussing this with the municipalities, as they were initially supposed to take over those the management of those villages. In the meantime, while the municipalities haven't taken over, we are then spending a minimum of about 550,000 a year to maintain or provide services in those villages. In terms of the title deeds, we've engaged with Rural Development, and for instance, for the Singisi communities, they indicated that for them to be able to issue the title deeds, there's some work that they need to do, things like community profile, and that has been finalized for both Eastern Cape and KZN. And then the next step would then to lodge the documents so that the certificates can be issued, and then the title deeds can then be finalized. In terms of access, the Principal Act does allow and provide for access for consumptive and non-consumptive use, and all the companies that have leased land from us comply with that section of the Act. In terms of water use licenses, initially there was no time limit in terms of how the Department of Water Affairs would deal with their licenses. Through our intervention, it has now been set that it's 300 days. Obviously, we are not happy with the time frame, and we are working towards ensuring that it can be reduced further. And we need to, and we would need then to see how we can try and get Water Affairs to prioritize this area of work. In the meantime, we then, as a department, conduct environmental impact assessments on behalf of communities, so that that can reduce the cost for the communities, for them to get authorization. We have so far received authorization for 10,500 hectares in the Eastern Cape, and 8,000 of those has already been planted. For KZN, we have submitted 4,500 hectares worth of EIA reports to the Department of Environmental Affairs for processing. In terms of our plantations, there was a concern that we are not doing as much as we are supposed to do. And we recognize that because we do not have enough capacity in terms of human resources, in terms of funding, And we have therefore looked at models that can then assist us in terms of how do we manage these plantations better. The minister has approved that we can go out and do consultations, and we will do those during the first quarter of the financial year. And we will then link these models to the agroforestry strategy, which I think the committee would remember that we had presented, I think, in the APP of the previous year, that we were developing it. It has now been approved. Now we are implementing it. We have started the implementation in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. We've linked the farmers there with the institutions to make sure that there is that sustainability of those projects. In terms of the forums, we have forestry development forums in all our forestry provinces, which is Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Eastern Cape. And there were issues that were mainly specific for the Western Cape Forestry Forum. We've had discussions with them. We now have an action plan where we've brought together all the stakeholders. But to make sure that there is the issues that are raised in the Western Cape are anchored within the Western Cape processes, we've brought in the Provincial Department of Rural Development, we've brought in DPW, but also we're bringing in the local and the district municipalities so that they can assist us in ensuring that some of the issues that are raised are addressed. We are also sourcing funding through the JICA process where we can then support the functioning of this forum. In terms of assisting the communities with skills and employment, especially those who are living around the forest, we recognize that since forestry is a national competency, we do national tenders in line with the Treasury regulations. We also encourage the companies to source their labor locally, but also we work together with our sister departments. For instance, when we do the EPWP project, we've partnered with the Department of Environmental Affairs on the Working on Fire program to ensure that at least the firefighters are around the areas. With the Working for Water project, when they are eradicating wattle around areas where there are also forests, we also allies with them to ensure that they employ people locally. In terms of awareness raising, this is a program that the department is involved in. I'm sure honorable members are aware of the program AbaWeek that is linked to our national greening plan. We also have our foundation course in the National Forest Act. We also do some work in terms of advertising some of the work that we do. And we recognize that there is also additional work that we would need to do in this regard. And we will try to make sure that we try and reach as many communities as possible as we start this new financial year as well. Management of state forests by communities. I spoke earlier about the models that we are going to consult on. One of those models talks to a community forestry agreement, which is legislated through the National Forest Act. We have three communities in KwaZulu-Natal that are already managing a plantation of about 26,000 hectares using this agreement. We have another one in Limpopo, and we are dealing with other requests. We are currently developing a business plan for the Eastern Cape communities in the OR Tambo district municipalities. In terms of procurement, as I've already mentioned, that we follow the Treasury regulations and we do advertise on the national newspapers. In terms of working conditions, the department pays, as an employer, pays more than the minimum wage, and we recognize that also in some of our plantations, the living conditions are poor. Funding permitting, we would want to address this as quickly as possible, but due to funding constraints, we are not achieving as much as we would want to achieve. In terms of the industry employees, we facilitated with Forestry South Africa a sector determination for remuneration of forestry wages, and that determination is now aligned with the agriculture wage determination. We are still collaborating and engaging with the Department of Labor to assist us with some of the work that needs to be done, whether it's assisting in terms of going out to these companies to do inspections so that we can get their support in ensuring that there is compliance. In terms of transformation, the department participates in the Forest Sector Charter Council, and since the Forest Sector Charter itself is a collaboration between government, labor, and the industry, government has its own commitments, and we take the lead in ensuring that government complies. We, as a department, on our own have commitments. Some of these would be the issue of transferring of state plantations, issues of skills development, where we're collaborating with the CETA, issues related to the saw log shortage, where we have developed a strategy and it's currently being implemented by both the department and the industry. We further acknowledge that we would need to deal with the strengthening of the Forest Sector Charter Council so that it has more regulatory powers. At the beginning of the presentation, I did mention that we also wrote to the stakeholders, and we have received some of the responses from the stakeholders. In terms of Forestry South Africa, there were a number of issues that we raised with them, issues of that companies do not employ local people within the communities where they operate, and the issues of poor working conditions. And their summarized response is that their companies usually prefer to hire local residents to try and deal with transport and housing costs that are allocated with employing people outside of the areas, because they recognize that if they employ people far from where they operate, then they would have to provide transport for those people, and they would also have to provide housing. Secondly, in terms of poor working conditions, they have indicated that they ensure that the companies comply, and they do not tolerate non-adherence to the labor laws, and these issues must then be handed over to the Department of Labor to investigate, which I have mentioned that we've already sent a communique to the Department of Labor in this regard. In terms of transformation, they acknowledge that transformation is slow, but they feel that as an industry, they have embraced it, and they are making some progress. Non-compliance with environmental laws, they have established a certification system to ensure compliance with environmental laws. They have sent us a big document that deals with how each person who is involved in plantation forestry should be doing certain things to comply with the environmental laws. Lack of contribution to skills development, they have responded that they do that through short courses such as chain operators, and they also look at providing higher education in terms of diplomas and degrees. The Forestry Sector Charter Council was also sent a letter, and they have responded as follows in terms of non-compliance of companies in terms of the forestry sector codes. They have responded that they see that compliance is a result of the fact that companies are verified by either the generic scorecard or other scorecards, and that the companies do not necessarily undertake BE in general, because in some cases there's a bit of lack of understanding in terms of its strategic value. And they have also indicated that the council has no enforcement controls. As I've mentioned, that we've also recognized that there's a need to strengthen the regulatory framework for the council. In terms of women representation, they've responded to that. The amended codes have are now specifying in terms of principle of accountability and principle of rural development principle. And those two then would prefer women in terms of licensing, in terms of funding, and also in terms of availability of land. SAFCOL has responded in terms of access for communities, that they have a procedure on how access is controlled, and they do that to make sure that they manage the illegal activities that do happen sometimes. In terms of pensions for the ex-employees, we had an engagement with SAFCO and MTO and the Western Cape Forest Sector Forum, where the matter was discussed extensively, and it was resolved that it needs to be further investigated as information is required. For instance, the actual list of the people that are affected, because then it becomes easier to track what has happened to their pensions and whether they were paid, and if they were paid, how much was it enough, and all of those things. And then the next response is from MTO. This is a response which I think was also sent to the secretariat of the committee. It's about 400 pages of a document, so we tried to just pick a few issues in terms of the summary. There was an issue about the Honeybush project in Tsitsikamma that was stopped, and they have indicated that the main reason for stopping that functioning of that project was because of non-compliance of the harvesters to the permit that was issued by Department of Environmental Affairs. And what has happened now is that the Kokama municipality has taken over in terms of developing a strategy on how this sustainable harvesting can happen. And the strategy that M2O was using will then be infused into the strategy, and the matter will now be led through the municipality. Lost ownership in terms of delayed compensation for land claimants. No claim has been finalized in the MTO area. They do pay the rental to the department, and we have not yet transferred that money into the claimants because the claim has not been finalized. One of the issues is that there was some conflicts within the communities that needed to be resolved, and rural development is in the process of dealing with that, with those conflicts. There was the issue of non-transparency in terms of the list. They've indicated that the list is confidential, and all the parties would have to agree to provide the information. But we have also said that in terms of the PAEA, communities can be able to use that to access the information. Representation of youth and women, they indicate that they do make an effort to make sure that available programs cater for youth and women, also in terms of transformation, and they have now attained a level 4 BEE status. Lack of social responsibility, they've indicated that their contribution to social responsibility is determined by their target, by their profit target per year, and they cater for more than 80 communities that are neighboring their area of operation. This responsibility ranges from the bursaries that they will provide. I think they had said they spend about 250,000 a year as a minimum towards the bursaries, development of skills development for unemployed. There's also additional educational projects that they get to be involved in. In terms of the living quarters, they say they do provide accommodation for their workers. and the contractors that they do employ have then a responsibility to provide the living quarters themselves. In terms of evictions, they say because they are not a landowner, they cannot evict anyone. Prohibition by landowners for agricultural activities. They do not issue any permits for grazing, although they do allow cattle to graze. They have not promoted this because of the damage that the cattle would cause on the trees, especially if they are still very young. In terms of local contractors who complain that contractors are awarded to white people outside of their area, they've responded that they run an open and transparent fair tender quotation process that is advertised in the local newspapers, and they have since not received any complaints in that. Victimization of local activities or small contractors, they have established a contractors forum where they discuss these issues and they encourage open and transparent engagement. Non-adherence to labor laws, they've indicated that they conform to all the national and international legislative framework. Also because they are also certified by an international organization in terms of sustainable forest management, which also checks issues of labor, and so they do comply with that. Lack of mentorship, they mentioned that they support women and small medium enterprises through their enterprise and supplier development programs according to the charter. They also have youth and elderly group, female groups at all their managerial levels. Now, in terms of additional interventions that we see would be needed for us to be able to respond to all of the issues that have been raised, in terms of DAF, we recognize that we would need to continue with the engagements with the other government departments, also with the forestry industry, and we will do this through the commercial forestry liaison forum, which meets quarterly, and in that way we will be able to track these issues. Additionally, we will continue to implement the agroforestry strategy, so that we are able to deal with poverty, food insecurity, skills development, in line with the poverty notes and the reports that the Statistics South Africa would issue. Also, there's a need. We will then review our CASP program to ensure that the allocation from CASP addresses forestry issues and would assist us in terms of how we deal with housing and living conditions, issues of fencing, issues of security. In terms of rural development, we further require them to prioritize our state forest plantation claims so that we are able to ensure that communities do benefit from these plantations. Also, the registration of the leases. But also, what is more important is the functioning of the communal property associations and trusts, so that there is clarity of beneficiaries and how these benefits would be extended to the communities. Because we have seen that in some communal property associations, they do not function very effectively. They are in conflict, and sometimes they are in conflict with the traditional authorities. So we need that intervention from rural development and from COCTA. In terms of public enterprise, for us to be able to ensure that there's beneficiation besides jobs or besides communities becoming contractors in this forest, there's a need to fast-track the transfer of the shares that are currently held by SAFCOL on behalf of these communities, and also ensure that the dividends that are received through the shareholding are in fence until the communities have all been identified. in terms of human settlements and cooperative governance and traditional affairs, a high-level discussion on the living conditions, on how they can assist in that. As I've mentioned, labor, the continued inspection of forestry companies to ensure that they adhere to the laws, public works to assist us in fast-tracking a process where we are enabled, that as a department, we are able to improve housing for our employees. As a way forward, we are requesting that the Portfolio Committee assists us in coordinating a discussion with the Portfolio Committees of Environmental Affairs, Water and Sanitation, Rural Development, Public Enterprise, and COCTA, so that all these cost-cutting issues are addressed. Because we realize that we can never be able to deal with all the issues on our own. We need their cooperation. We need support from these departments. In addition to this, the minister will then lead an interministerial coordination at minister's level to address, to try and coordinate all these cross-cutting issues. And then as a department, we will continue to track and make sure that everything that has been raised and every action plan that we have managed to do thus far, we finalize those. And all the discussions that we are still going to have, we're going to try and have them finalized as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DDG. That was the presentation, honorable members. You are now invited to interact with the presentation. Honorable Kruger, Honorable Mwere, Honorable Mapanga, Honorable Kappa, Honorable State, Honorable Mandela, and Madoy.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Madam Chair, I don't know if the department is testing our intelligence or what, because it seems like it's they say, we say. The community gave us a different picture than what the companies like MTO is giving us feedback. And it seems like the department is just accepting that. So that's the first point. The second point is the water licensing. The turnaround time is 300 days. It's close to a year. I mean, no business can wait a year for a license, especially if you're in the growers business. So it's not acceptable. So we need to work on that 300 days to become something like 10 days. I mean, a year is just too long to do that. And then, Madam Chair, the department is, on the last few slides, are talking about interventions of other departments. And if you remember, when we communicate with the communities, most of the complaints was about small business development and skill development, especially to take part in the whole forestry business and the business around forestries. And I don't see any, I don't see a word of small business development. I mean, that's just the job of small business development department, is to go and develop small business around that community. So I don't understand why don't the department talking to small business at all about community concerns. And then my very last point, Madam Chair, is I think the big businesses in this industry, in forestries, are plain bullies. They're bullying small businesses. They say here that, you know, they use local people. But the people on the ground tell us that they, in the western province, they bring people in from Mpumalanga, contractors from Mpumalanga. So, and it seems like this company is not just bullying or elbowing small business, they're also bullying the department. And I think somehow we need to sit down and revisit this whole way of forestry in South Africa. And then can I just ask one question, Madam Chair? Why are we planting trees that's not water wise? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, to the department and my colleagues. Well, the Honorable Kruger Chair has been reading my notes. But I'll try to be tricky to him because there's some that I didn't write down. It's in my head.
I saw those ones.
I'm a witch, I can see.
Thank you, Chair. But let me start on what he has said and just make an addition. That I was also worried when I saw some departments that we are told to engage. And I didn't see the Department of Small Business and Development. Because in those areas that we visited, there are also some cooperatives. And as far as I understand it, that department is also given the mandate to develop cooperatives. I thought that there will be some form of a transversal agreement between this Department of Agriculture and them, because they've got resources to do that. Not only develop small business, but also cooperatives. I think maybe that one should be added as well and be visited. Secondly, Chair, the report from Hardik. I understand that you are told the area has been revisited and the people raised concerns and submitted some requests regarding issues of rural development, Ngonyama Trust and others. But when we were there, what was more embarrassing was when we saw Amakhosi leaving us in that gathering. Now we are saying in a report we have addressed issues that Amakhosi raised as concern, but it's not clear whether we have met them. Have we had a meeting with them? Because the other concern that they raised, Chair, is that when we go to the people in the ground as the department, we bypass them. We just go and have meetings, public meetings there. They'll be told to take the visitor from the Department of Agriculture in the hall, in that community hall. So I want to get that clarity whether did you meet them as a group and take down their notes. I'm saying that, Chair, because currently there's a sensitive issue regarding Ngonyama Trust in the province. Now, once you bypass Amakhosi and you go to those people, when there's this thorny issue, you are really inviting unnecessary fire. Maybe lastly, let me emphasize, Chair, on the issue of the Department of Water and Sanitation. I saw that you raised that we must meet there. Definitely. What Honorable Kruger is raising is important, the issue of the water license. It's one of the issues that those people were raising when we were there in those public hearings. Where there is no emerging farmer can be really successful if we have to wait for 300 days, a year or 2 years to get just the license. It's one of the pressing matters that I think should be attended to the Department of Water and Sanitation as a matter of agents. For now, I'll pause there, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity and greetings to everyone. Chair, my questions will be focusing on the responses from the sector stakeholders. The community chair has raised the issue of the pension. The community members indicated that they work in the forest industry for more than 40 years, but retired with nothing. So to me, Chair, the issue of the pension for ex-workers is very sensitive. I just want to find out if there was a time frame given as to when the investigation into the matter will be concluded, and how far is the investigation as of now. Lastly, Chair, the community has also raised that sometimes they were evicted, but on the response of the stakeholders, the MTO, it says that it is not the landowner and cannot evict anyone. So it means that something here does not add up. Because there is this complaint that employees are being evicted and stakeholders respond such as to suggest that the issue is false. Do we have hardcore evidence towards such a complaint? I think.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me first get a clarity. Maybe I might have to come with questions later. First clarity, Chair, is that I'm worried here because first is that in all the responses, the way they come to the department, to me, it sounds as if it says that is not true. In all responses, something is said, and the responses from these stakeholders says something else. In a way that it says that's not true. That worries me. And then the second question would be, as a department, are you satisfied with their responses? The third one is, what would be the evidence that shows that there is a change, or they are doing what they say they are doing, because people told us otherwise? The last one would be, I don't get anywhere where there is an explanation, because when there's a question, something needs to be explained. I always expect to say because, to answer the question, why was ABCD happening? If I don't get any because ABCD was happening, to me does not assist. I always make an example where I would ask someone why they had 50% failure in their students. And then someone would answer that it is because 50% did not pass their exams. This is what we are likely to find here. We don't get exactly something which is itself. Except the last one. I'm comfortable with your proposed interventions. They make sense. But now the rest of the documents where people complain and there are some things they say happen, and then the response, when they say there are no skills, the response is that no, we give them skills. So those are things that worry me, including skills of chainsaw operation, something that I can teach my boy for 10 minutes and then regard it here as a skill development. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Malloy? This is Honorable Mandela before.
Thank you very much, Ajay. Good morning to everyone. Chair, I also wish to appreciate the presentation. I want to add my concern with regard to some of the questions and the manner in which it has been responded to, Chair. It gives one the impression that it's more a kind of a bureaucratic academic response. Just to give you an example, Chair, the issue of on slide 27, a complaint or a concern raised about the lack of woman or female representation and participation. And the response is a response that is extracted from amended BEE codes. It does not say, this is the factual situation currently.
Hmm.
We identified there's a problem, and this is what we are doing to address it. It doesn't speak to the complaint. The issue, Chair, on page 27, with regard to the department, also the concern raised here, the non-involvement in assisting communities residing close to state forests. Chair, one would have expected the department is saying, this is what we are doing to address that particular concern. And not to say the issue of tenders, the issue of companies source labor from the areas of the operations, DAB is closely working with the fire program. The expectation would be, say, if that is the case, DDG, the expectation, the answer would have been, this is what DAB have done through working with the fire program of fire. We've been able to get so many young people access and employment opportunities. That is an answer, not this kind of answers, Chair. One do appreciate the response, and in particular the with regard to the issue of the pension, Chair, the joint task team that has been that are being proposed to deal with it, including the department and other departments, Chair. But the one thing that I find a bit strange, Chair, is there's no indication of any labor representation on it. Now, one would want to assume that the workers in the forestry sector are highly unorganized. If that is the case, then one could understand why there is no trade unions on the task. But, Chair, the Labor Relations Act also give due recognition for workplace forums, Chair. So one would have expected that the department will encourage, where there's no trade union movement or trade union organization, that they establish workplace forums so that the workers themselves can be represented on these important forums, so that their issues and their concern and their participation in the in finding solutions for problems that are also theirs to be addressed with their with their input. Chair, I will strongly suggest that the department look towards empowering workers in that particular manner, Chair. Just lastly, Chair, yesterday I've been, whilst in the SONA debate, received a frantic text message from the community members in Grabouw about a stakeholder meeting that are being planned, I think for the 22nd. The concern that they express is that they received yesterday notification or heard through the grapevine about the meeting, and they then contacted the department, who confirmed that the meeting has been scheduled, and then send them an invitation. An invitation has been sent to stakeholders on the 13th of February already, which last, when is the 13th? Yeah. Now, the concern, Chair, if you look at the email that the department sent inviting stakeholders, it is all stakeholders, all business-orientated stakeholders, not community people. So the people directly affected are being overlooked. and it is a concern. It actually ties in with the complaints that have been received and that the department actually also have captured in this response presentation, Chair. So one would want to expect and urge the department to, in actual fact, begin to tie those particular things up and communicate directly with community representations, representatives, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Maloy.
No, thanks, Chair, and good morning, everybody. Now, Chair, you know, I had wanted to say I will not raise questions for obvious reasons, but what is obvious to me might not be obvious to everybody. So I think I must just explain quickly why I will not pose questions but make suggestions. I was just trying to go through my mail quickly, but I couldn't get the minutes. I think last year, on the 28th of November, I think, if I'm wrong, you'll correct me. We had a meeting with the department and all these companies, Safcall, MTO, everybody, under one roof. We had that meeting last year. And we raised all these things that the minister has written in his letter to those companies, that they must respond to those issues. And they were there, they responded verbally. And we interacted with them. So you will recall, Chair, that in that meeting we took a decision as this committee that because these companies are basically saying what Honorable Kapa is saying, denying everything, that they are wrong, this is what is right, and so on. That's what they were saying in that meeting. We indicated to the department that we have met with communities, and communities have raised issues that are not similar to what these companies are saying. Mm. And we want you as a department to go back there and investigate these issues as to what is happening and so on. And having done that exercise, you must then intervene. And if it means your intervention will involve your sister departments, we even mentioned human rights commissions and so on and so forth, involve everybody in order to resolve issues that are raised by communities. And we said when we meet, which I suppose it is this meeting, then the departments must then say to us that we have investigated, we have interacted and so on. This is the situation on the ground, and this is what we are doing as the department, together with our sister departments, to resolve these problems. Mm. Now, we are not getting that. We are getting a repetition of what we discussed on the 28th of November last year. Now, I'm not going to raise questions. I want to make suggestions, Chair. The first suggestion I want to make is that the 400... a page document, which we are told is from MTO, must be circulated amongst members in order for us to read as to what are they saying in that document, that 400 pages. We have time, we'll read that document. That's the first one. The second suggestion, in terms of what the department is saying, it seems there is some work that is being done by the department to interact with some role players, sister departments, and so on and so forth, which means it's work in progress. So I'm going to suggest that they must tell us or share with us as to when will they complete this exercise. Once they've done that, they must then come back to this committee and report to us and give us a progress report, not what we have here. So that's what basically I'm suggesting, Chair, that let them go back, complete the exercise we have requested them to do last year on the 28th of November. When they've completed that exercise, they must then come and report to this committee. And the deadline which they must give or which we must give to them must not be long, because we don't have time. People have spoken to us in November, we are in February. Let us not get this repetition. Let's get progress. What is it that we are doing to address issues that are raised by communities? Those issues they are experiencing them there on the ground. Mm. Not what this companies are telling us. They've told us those things and so on, and we know by now that that is not the true reflection of what is happening there. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, I have to agree with everything that's being said here today. I think the message out there was very clear and very different from what we are hearing from the department chair. But I want to add something else. I was reading these responses from the different the responses to the minister's letter, and something that I see in here, and it's something that I also picked up even before I read this letter, is that SAPI says they were not invited to any of the meetings. So one of my requests that I want to add, Chair, is that we get a list of everyone that was invited to every meeting by the department themselves when they were discussing it and when we did our oversight, Chair, because there was concerns even during that. I also got a someone that contacted me from Sisikama after I heard that there was a meeting, I think the meeting was in George or whatever. I didn't attend that one, but someone phoned me. So I was concerned from the beginning that people were not all informed about what is going on, and even there, I'm also concerned reading through here that one of the other companies, I can't remember now, I said they only attended one of the meetings, which also to me is a concern, because if communities around there are making allegations and they want to find out, why would companies not go and attend and sit in and listen to those meetings? So I want to see if they were invited to the meetings and who were invited, and then get a list of the attendance registers of people who actually did attend the meeting, so that we also know for ourselves. Chairperson, I would also like to make a proposal that this committee maybe meets with rural development before we also continue. Because of all the issues regarding land claims and alleged evictions taking place, I want to find out what is rural development's role and how far are they? What are they doing? It's not good enough to just hear, you know, these discussions on leases and what. I want to know when were the claims lodged, were any lease agreements entered into with these private partners after leases, after claims were lodged and all of that thing. So that I think many of the problems that we can maybe help resolve is when we meet together with rural development. That is one of the things that I think we discussed even last year when the community started making proposals to us or coming for submissions on this piece of legislation. And then lastly, Chair, I want to raise my concern that we are continuing with the piece of legislation that I don't think will solve these issues. If the legislation, you know, is almost not helping us on the issues, can't we wait a bit with this legislation if we need to maybe then make amendments if necessary? I would like to find out what is the committee's feeling on that. Maybe after we've done all our investigations and all our discussions, we might want to come up with other suggestions or proposal in the legislation. I want to just throw it out there.
Thank you very much. You know, I was today I wanted to be a good girl and not say anything wrong. But I want to go back to the issue of Maloi, and we must agree that this is not the response that we expected.
Mm.
From those companies, because we had the meeting with them and we have given them tasks. What I think we should do, Honorable Maloi, not the department, because it's not the department's responsibility to monitor those companies, it's the Forestry Council, which advised the minister.
Mm.
That's why I've asked them, where is the chairperson of the council? Because is that council that's supposed to monitor those companies? I think the we should agree with the proposal of
Honorable Maloy, by demanding that the council, all those issues must be handed over officially by the department to the council for council to investigate and bring the report back here. I think that, that's what should happen. Because I didn't want to say department, it's like we are part of this company. It's the same thing. You are not working towards assisting our people. Instead, your report is not helpful at all with regard to those issues that are raised by the companies. Because if you give, you know that the response is not right, you copy it to us. But it's your responsibility to monitor and investigate the people and take decisions. So hand it over these responses and the issues that have been raised by communities to the council. And council work on the plan of action and investigate on their own and come back to us with the report. On land that areas that is department's responsibility, those issues too must be given to the council to investigate the department, because you are the implementer, and they must bring the report. In terms of other issues of other department, I think we would have to schedule meetings with those individual departments, as you said, Honorable Stain. Your water affairs, we'll not have joint portfolio committee meetings because they might delay us. We'll just call the direct department to come and account on the work that is affecting us as agriculture, fishery, and forestry. So, I don't know, honorable members, I don't want to waste more time allowing department to respond because the response is not helping us. So, I want us to move to the second item, and Honorable Stein is raising a critical issue on the second item that we're supposed to interact with, the deliberation of the National Forest Amendment Bill. I don't think we should wait. We've got the staff from Parliament, including lawyers. They must take all these scenarios and look at the Act and come back to us to say, I think this amendment is helping us, is not helping us. This is what we think committee must change this section and those things to tighten up the Act. So I don't think to wait it will help us. I want your comment on the item 2. Honorable members, do we agree that we take matter to our own staff of Parliament to look at the issues that are raised by the communities and make their views, and then we discuss, guided by them. What does that mean?
Okay. As a proposal, I am happy with that. I just don't want us to finish a product and then after 6 months we see that it's not covering. I want us to be clear that when we discuss the bill, it is amended to how we want it to help and assist communities.
Okay. Honorable Mandela.
Madeira.
Yeah.
I agree, Chair. When Moses bear in mind timelines, Chair, it can't be an open-ended or indefinite process, Chair. So our own legal eagles must be given a time frame to work in that we expect their report back to the committee, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Who is your leader? Contest advance. How long or the lawyer? Time frame.
Greetings to all the members. Thank you, Chairperson. It is not an easy question to answer because, Chairperson, as you may have also seen with the other processes, a lot has to be put into that process before we can come to that end. Maybe we should just add that for the purposes of this bill, our focus was on what the department had only focused on. So we restricted our research and our understanding as well, only as far as that scope. So now, with the scope open broader to say we need to review the whole Act, now trying to also take into account the questions and the complaints and the difficulties that the communities have brought up front, it would really be difficult to indicate the time frame as well as the work that needs to be put in it. Because the committee is not only saying, look at the Act and find the problem. The committee is saying, understand the problems that have come forward, look at them, look at the Act. How can we make it right? So it's not a work that one can say, I will be done in 2 weeks, or I'll be done in 2 months. And I think we need to bear in mind as well that the committee already has other programs that it must run with, as well as the fact that this is the last year just before the elections, and so quite a lot of work is already in and we need to deal with it. So like I said, Chairperson, maybe we can squeeze ourselves and try to give focus on this task, but the timelines would be difficult to really indicate. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Maloney and Honourable Cook.
No, Chair, I suggest that they give us a report last week of March, which means it will be the end of March. I suspect it's 6 weeks from now. And having received that report, we'll take it from there.
Okay. I don't have the program with me. It must not affect our oversight. I agree, but it must not tamper with that process. Honourable Kuka?
Madam Chair, I'll just get closer to the mic. I just want to make a request to the legal eagles that we look through the eyes of small businesses to this act, and also through the eyes of red tape. Because, you know, red tape, And the President mentioned it in his SONA speech. Red tape is one of the issues that big businesses use to kill small businesses. So, and this 300 days, for instance, getting a license, it's a good example of red tape. So, please, if they go back and revisit this bill, look at it through the eyes of small business friendliness and especially red tape. Please. Thank you, Madam Chair. I also, my second point is I secondly suggest.
I think the suggestion has been seconded, which we'll have to rework our program such that the last week before the oversight, we can then have get that briefing from the official. officials. Okay, that was the last item on the agenda. Honorable State.
Chairperson, you can rule me out of order, but I think while we have, I'm not sure if this section of the department is supposed to deal with it, but the outbreak, I thought maybe that meeting in, is it Bredasdorp or where, that the Honourable Mandela said there was a break, the outbreak of the fruit fly thing, Grabow, I wonder if it's the same area and maybe that's the same meeting, if someone here from the department can update us on what's going on. I was just hearing, I think yesterday there was an outbreak of the fruit fly and that it affects all the fruit and exports and things out of that area. It's a clamp down. If someone here does know anything.
Okay. We want to extend the agenda. DPG? Do you have anything to brief us on the outbreak, as indicated by the members?
Yes, thank you so much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Yesterday, we had received an update from the colleagues of the department that are working on this matter. The report is still being compiled, needless to say. But I think just to assure the members of the portfolio committee, I'm just receiving this now. I think let me just speak out of my head so that I don't get to confuse the issues. There is an article this morning that was on Cape Agus that is indicating what the department is doing. So the colleagues in the department are working together with various stakeholders in terms of identifying the outbreak. In terms of the details, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I may be out of line to tell you the details because it's not an area of my expertise. However, as I'm saying, we are receiving a full report from the colleagues in the department where the outbreak is now, the extent it is at, and the interventions that the department is doing. And we request Chairperson to submit these in writing to the Honourable Members. I think they are almost ready, and it could be something of today where we can send this update report, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Okay. Thank you. The report will be sent to Albertina today, and then it will be circulated to Honourable Members. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
It might affect the poultry industry on the way.
Oh, dear.
It might, that's why. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they got an update.
Hulle kontroleer dit, maar dit kan hulle weer afgeteer.
Ja, ja.